I did something very silly this week, and I know what you're thinking. Yes, I am capable of doing silly things. I went to have lunch at home because it's not that far away, and then I can walk back here. But as I went to leave the house, I normally have a process where before I close the door, I pat my pockets to make sure that my keys are there. And this time, as I was closing the door and I went to pat my pocket, the wind blew just that slight amount to shut it and then to pat my pocket and see that there were no keys in my pocket. I felt very silly. Then I had to, I went around the house several laps to see if there was some way that I could concoct some kind of nefarious scheme to break in. I came over to the church to think maybe if I accidentally left my office door open, there might be a key or something in there that I can use to get back in. I hadn't. So I committed several nefarious crimes, and then I finally decided to ask for help, and I told my wife that I had locked myself out, and she said, well, maybe contact Sally, because she's working, but maybe she will finish before I do and she can come and rescue you. And so I contacted Sally and explained how I was a very silly person, and she said, oh look, I'm nearly on my lunch break. I'll have my lunch break and then I can drive out, open the door for you and then let you back in. And I was like, you don't need to use your lunch break to do that. I feel bad enough as it is, as a very silly person, let alone having you give up your lunch break. And then she went, no, that's fine. And then she came and I sat for a long time waiting for her to arrive to save me, to be my hero, and me being the damsel that needed rescuing. After a little while, she arrived and she was singing, I can be your hero. No, she did not. I wish she did, but rather than that, she was like, oh, it's okay, it's fine. I would rather her gloat about it, but no, she was completely gracious and opened up the house and got in and then got my keys and made sure I padded my pocket before the wind got hold of the door to lock me out. In my life, I always want to be the hero, be the one rescuing the damsels, but I was the damsel in this case. And I look at life and I think about these struggles and these highs and being the hero and being the damsel, and why does there have to be both good and bad? Why do I have good in my life for bad to inevitably come? Why can I be the hero one day and the damsel the next? Well, we are in the book of Ecclesiastes, which wrestles with lots of life's questions. Now, we have a few things to keep in mind as we look in this book. First, it's one of the wisdom books, which are kind of the self-help books of the Bible. So we have Proverbs, which is the first one, and that lays down the broad road rules for life and says, if you follow these rules, you'll be safe on the road. And then Ecclesiastes comes by and says, well, yes, if you do follow those rules, things will most likely be better for you, but that doesn't stop someone else from running into you. And what are you actually doing on the road to begin with? Do you know that? And then the other one is Job, which comes along later and says, well, if someone does run into your car, well, whose fault is it really? But in Ecclesiastes, we have this wisdom journey of collected sayings from someone who the book calls Kohelet. Now, because it's a journey and a wrestling, it means that Kohelet often contradicts himself as he questions and struggles, and he's not always looking at things from the right perspective. They are collected by another author, and then he chimes in at the end to say, well, this wisdom is really like a pointed stick. It's meant to provoke you, but the important thing is that in this undertaking and this wrestling is that you turn to God with your life. Now, the other important thing to remember is the Hebrew word hevel. This is the word that's often translated as meaningless or vanity. Now, the word means, at its base meaning, smoke or vapor. And it acts as kind of like a live metaphor in the book. So we need to translate this as vapor, because when we read that this is hevel, it doesn't mean meaningless, but it means it's temporary, it's enigmatic. We try to grasp it and it disappears, it shifts and changes and is gone. Things are uncomfortable. They can also be beautiful. But like your breath on a cold day or the steam coming off a hot meal, it dissipates and disappears. Now, so far we've learned that Qohelet is a king who tried everything under the sun to see what can be gained in this life. And he concludes that all we have is to enjoy the gifts of God, and trying to gain for ourselves, that's vapour. It's trying to catch wind. So today, Qohelet tries to understand time and all that God gives us under the heavens. Today, Qohelet is going to give us three uncomfortable truths, and then he's going to come to a conclusion that, well, we probably have to work out whether we agree with him or not. The chapter begins with this beautiful poem that Hayley read out for us. It contrasts all the experiences between the joys and the highs of life and the lows and the negative things, all the opposites that make up life. And the Hebrew word for time here, sort of like the word for season, it implies that there is a fitting or right time for these things to happen. I find the highs and the lows in life are a bit strange. We have this world filled with amazing wonders. This week we had book week, and so that's when all the parents get together and then they try to dress up their kids in a costume to go to school. We had the book week parade at our school, so we go there and we watch the children all dressed up in their little costumes. They come as a favourite character from a book. Now, my children's costumes are more like the costume we could find in the cupboard that most fits a character in a book. And then there's different variations on that for most of the people. I know I was talking to one father who spent a long time making a dragon head out of cardboard, only to have his daughter say, "Actually, this T-shirt you've given me to go with it, it's got writing on it. The dragon doesn't have writing on his arm. We can't have that." And so they had to do other things to make sure that the costume was right and this dragon was realised. We saw the parade and it was great. There's all these kids dressed up and they march around in their costumes at each year level. The teacher comes out and I think the teacher picks the most scared kid to walk alongside them. So they have to go first. Meanwhile, all the excited kids are at the back high-fiving all the kids as they passed and being excited about the costumes that they are. And you see the kids who think they've picked a kind of subversive or cool costume all looking really cool as they walk along. There's also friends groups that would coordinate costumes. So we saw Goldilocks and then behind her were three bears going through. We saw Alvin and his chipmunks. And then there was female Alvin and chipmunks. I think they exist in something. You also see pop cultural references that you don't understand and so you feel really old. But then you get delighted by the ones that you think that the kids won't know about, and yet there's some kid dressed up as Bart Simpson, and you're like, yes, the Simpsons are still cool. Some of them are weird and disturbing, but mostly it is this time of joy and fun. Yet also this week I was listening to Life FM, and they had Takeaway Hunger Day, where you could donate money to feed hungry children in Africa. These children don't get to go to school because they spend their day wandering around and trying to find grass to eat so they have something in their bellies. Or if they can't find grass, they will get pebbles that they chew on to trick themselves into not having hunger pains. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time for joy and a time for sorrow, a time for victory and a time for loss. Now, we know that all those things happen, whether we want them to happen or not, they do. The challenge and the struggle of this beautiful yet challenging poem is that it implies that they are both fitting and good. The good and the bad have their allotted time under heaven. Now, each of those things in the poem, they're not really given a value, whether they're good or bad, but simply that they happen in the time that has been given for them to happen. Now, at me, as a creature in this creation, I object to some of those things happening. I want children's book week parade without the need for Takeaway Hunger Day. Yet under heaven, there is a time for both of those. That is the first uncomfortable truth that he gives us today. Now, after this beautiful, frustrating poem, Kohelet then asks another question about life and its seasons. He says, God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in the minds of humans, yet people only live for a short time. So they can't see everything that God has planned or what he's doing. People are temporary and living in a world with minds that feel eternal, and yet they will not see what God's plans are. We often say everything happens for a reason, but what if the thing that happened for a reason was that you got hit by a bus? That's a reason that you will never get to see. You won't know the reason for that. What is from God is what endures, and what is from us just blows away like vapor. I think about the Anzacs in the World Wars, where they went away to fight and die for a larger cause. They gave up their life for the freedom of Australians and New Zealanders, people who they will never meet, a world that they never get to be a part of. But they ensured that we would enjoy that today. They fought for something bigger, but they only had a small part to play. This is how it works with time. We have eternity on our hearts, and yet we'll never know the bigger plan that and what we contributed to it. This is another problem with time. We struggle and fight, and sometimes we experience the tough side of the poem, but there is no assurance that we will know the good side. God has put eternity on our hearts. We want things to last. We want to have a world where we gain things and we live forever, and yet we are here and then we are gone. He then goes on to the third problem about being in time and there being a time for everything, and that is that justice is not always done. In fact, it's often not done. You look in the place of where there should be justice, the courts, the religious institutions, and there is bad stuff going on there. Injustice has corrupted them. The system seems to be rigged to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. We're in a world where God has given us a season for everything, and where everything is appropriate, right, and beautiful in its time. Then where does injustice and evil fit into that? Now, there are books and books and books trying to answer that question. It seems that this question is still tricky after a couple of thousand years after Kohelet was writing it. We know that the children who Life FM were raising money for on Takeaway Hunger Day were usually in that situation because of war in their country. They're in a dire state because people are evil and corrupt. It's not just that their country doesn't have enough food. Across time in this life that we live under heaven, there is evil. So what do we do with that? Well, Kohelet's solution is to say, well, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and every work. Now, that tells us that it won't just go on and never be reckoned with, which is somewhat comforting, but it often feels like half a solution. So if I were to come home and my child had taken a bat and broken a window, and I say to them, why did you break the window? And they said, oh, it's okay, I've called the glazier, they're going to fix it, I will pay the money out of my pocket money, you don't have to worry about a thing, justice has been done. And you say, well, sure, but why did you break the window? And they say, oh no, it's okay, justice has been done. If there is a time for everything, then why is there a time for injustice? Why is it that we don't know the end of the plan? Even if we will, at some point, it might be made right. Well, Kohelet seems to think that it is because God is testing us. He says God is testing them that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For both humans and beasts will die, and who knows if once dead, our spirit goes to another place than the animals or the same place. Both lives are just vapor. Now, this is perhaps where we might start to disagree with cheeky old Kohelet and his conclusion. But I think there is something in what he is saying. You also see later on in the book that as he continues his wisdom journey, he will have a different view on what happens to your spirit after you die. And we may cover that in a few weeks. But he highlights something important about our questions on all that happens under the heavens. In those areas that we have looked at, the mystery of there being a time for bad as well as good, the tension between us having eternity in our hearts and a big picture in our mind, only for us not to be fully led into the plan, the fact that there seems to be a time for injustice on the earth. The problem with these things is that I actually want to be the one to decide what is good and bad in life and what should be done on the earth. Kohelet says that God is testing us so that we see that we are like the animals. That's because we are often trying to take the place of God. We're trying to sway the world to be in our favour. We're not accepting what we are given, but we are trying to take the place of the giver and create a world in our own image. Now, the fact that with what we have been given, we often create a place of injustice where there should be justice. That's a hint that perhaps we're not the ones who should be trusted with this power. Compared with God, we are just like beasts. Now, I skipped over a couple of parts of the passage today, and that's where Kohelet says that what he does see is that there's nothing better for people than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil, and this is God's gift to man. We do not have the place of God for good reason. It's up to us to trust in him and enjoy the good gifts that he has given us. Nowadays, we live in a very imminent frame. Our culture believes that, well, what's in front of us is all that there is, that's all that we have, and then we die. Our culture believes that we should have the most perfect life and nothing can go wrong because you only live once. That means we must avoid bad things at all costs. We can avoid those people we don't want to talk to. We can create and curate a life for ourselves like never before. Did you know that I can go into my house and I can choose what the weather is going to be like at the push of a button? I can eat fruit when it's not the season for that fruit to be ripe. I can live a life where I don't interact with anyone I don't want to interact with. I don't even have to talk to the person at the supermarket anymore. I can push a button on my phone and they'll bring my groceries out to my car. Now, if an imminent frame is true, then anything bad is a tragedy beyond reckoning. But we have a God that spans beyond our lives and wants to give us good gifts. This week, I had a cold office, but outside everything was warm and the sun was shining. Now, I've been trying to pay more attention to how much coffee I drink and not drink as much. So I'll take a thermos of plunger coffee into the office, and then I know that has about 3 cups in it, and that's all I'll drink in the day. I got to about 3 o'clock the other day on a fairly, it was a cold office, warm outside office day, and I had used up all of my coffee, and I was looking around trying to find something that would just warm me up and something to be nice at 3 o'clock to get me past 3:30-itis. And I saw I have a hot chocolate sachet in my office. Now, that hot chocolate sachet has been sitting in my office for a couple of years because it was given to me by Mariana. Yeah, now, Mariana passed away about 2 years ago now. But one day she had visited and she went, "Paul, here, have a hot chocolate sachet." I didn't know why, and by then I wasn't watching how much coffee I drank, so I was like, "No, I'll just have my coffee, thank you." But she just wanted me to have hot chocolate. So I had that just sitting in my office. Now, I could have left it in my office as some sort of monument to my friend, but I thought she wanted me to have a hot chocolate, and now is the perfect time for it. So I made it, and I went outside, and I sat in the warmth of the sun, and I drank and enjoyed my hot chocolate, and I prayed, thanking God for Mariana and everything that she was and is. I could see the vapor rising off my hot chocolate and into the air. It was a nice hot chocolate, given by a friend who is no longer with us. It was heavy with sadness, but light with the love of my friend. The most meaningful hot chocolate I have ever had. God has given us many wonderful gifts, both bitter and sweet. I know that he also gave us his son, who lived a perfect life. Not the life of someone trying to take the place of God, but someone living in step with everything that God had for him. Jesus came and died so that I could live with the promise of eternity and have part in God's plan, a plan that spans beyond what we can see. That promise was written all over Mariana's life. It was the example that prompted her to love others and to give me a hot chocolate sachet one day for no reason. There is a time for everything under the heavens, and we will not understand everything. We'll not be able to make sense of why sometimes we have to be the damsel and let someone else save us. We might not make sense of for why every Book Week parade there has to be a takeaway hunger day. But we know that we have a God who has given us good gifts to enjoy with him. And with him there is real hope for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us everything under the heavens. We may not understand it. We may want to take your place to be the one to control what goes on. But thank you that you have created this world for us to be in. Thank you that you are the God who gives us good gifts in the moments and in the long run, you're the one who knows the plan for the universe. I pray, Lord, that we can trust in you and enjoy what you give us. This week, I pray we'll show others who you are too through our enjoyment of this world you've given us. They will see the gift that your son is. We'll be able to show them who you are through our deeds and also sometimes our words. I pray these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.